Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Please welcome in now the Utah Utes insider for KSLSports.com and our co-host here on the Saturday Show, Michelle Bodkin, live in Los Angeles, getting ready for USC and Utah. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
I'm doing great. Fun day of football ahead. First off, how is California treating you so far?
It's been really nice. The weather's lovely, unlike the last time I was here for the Rose Bowl. So, you know, already an upgrade.
I can wholeheartedly believe that. Have you had any good food so far? I mean, I usually hold this for the end, but I'm going to get it out of the way right now.
Yeah. You know what? I had a really bomb grilled cheese last night, and I had a delicious lobster roll for lunch, too.
Oh, geez. Look at you go, Michelle. I like this. This is,
I know.
Well done. Bravo to you.
Thank you.
All right. So, obviously, a big game today. You and I both saw this. Pete Thamel this morning on College Game Day putting out that Bryson Barnes will get the start. It feels like, and I want to get your thought on this. So obviously, I don't think either of us are surprised that Bryson's getting the start in this game. But the conversation seems to be pivoting now regarding Cam Rising and a potential medical hardship and a redshirt to return to play next season. Is that what you're hearing? Is it in line with what you expect, I guess, at this point?
You know, I'm starting to lean towards that. I think it's one of those things you have to look at, you know, how many games are left, you know, and the whole point of Cam coming back is he wants to prove and show that he's NFL worthy. And the more time that goes by, the less opportunity he has this season to show that. And you just never know what you're going to look like coming out onto the field. You know, there might be a game where you're a little bit rusty before you get up and going. And, you know, is that the impression you want to leave? And so I think, you know, as the games keep whittling away, as there become less and less games for him to showcase that he's back, the knee's fine, he's good to go for the NFL, I think you have to really consider, you know, am I going to be able to show enough to make a difference, or would I be better off gambling on my age and coming back and having a full season to show off that, yes, I'm good to go, I'm every bit the quarterback I was before and maybe then some. And then there's also the big opportunity, you know, to go into a new conference, possibly take that title, maybe possibly, you know, talk about playoffs with the playoffs expanding next year. I mean, those are really great resume builders. And so those are just some things that I think Cam has to weigh and the program has to weigh kind of moving forward as we're getting beyond the halfway point of this season.
I agree with you on that. Now, let's also talk about this. Christian and I kind of discussed this earlier on today's show, is that if you believe Dr. Neil Elatrosh, the return window for Cam Rising was 10 to 12 months. Now, he had that surgery in January, which would put him right about now at the 10-month mark to re-enter the fray. But to your point, Michelle, it just seems like games are dwindling here, and really, can you put that big of a sample size on the football field? So would they ever consider, if he does ultimately get cleared at some point this season, say, you know what, Cam, you may be cleared, but we still want to hold you for next year. Would they just shut him down, essentially?
I mean, they would have to if they want him to come back next year. That
sure.
is the one caveat, is that he cannot play a down of football this season at all. So if that is the plan, if that's what both parties decide they want to do, then yes, he has to be shut down. There is no more discussion about, and obviously I don't think they're ever going to really tell us one way or another,
good point.
But in the building, you know, that discussion will be had. And I think that's the conversation and the point that's made. It just would have to be that way if you want him to return at all.
Okay, so how does that affect quarterback recruiting going forward if he does? Let's say, hypothetically, if he does decide to come back for another year next year, how is that going to affect the quarterback room currently and also recruiting moving forward in your mind?
You know, you might have one of the guys that have been in the program for a while behind him transfer out, maybe two of them. But then, of course, you know, you have Isaac Wilson coming in next year. And then 2025, I mean, that's not really going to be, I don't think, a huge issue one way or another, because Cam will be gone by then. unless I guess he tries to pull. Who is that? A Miami player that's trying to get a ninth season of eligibility?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't think Cam wants to do that. I think Cam might be done after next year. I think next year is about all he probably is going to want to potentially roll the dice on at that point. But, so I think 2025 gets cleared up, and I think that's fine. But, yeah, you might see a transfer or two out of the program simply due to time's ticking for them. And if they feel like they have a legitimate shot to start somewhere, it's obviously not going to be at Utah and not for a while.
Well, and that's a good point. We'll see how it ultimately all shakes out. Now, I also wanted to ask you, in terms of today's game, looking at USC and Utah, Matt Zemek was on Unrivaled earlier this week, and he made the comment that USC is soft, and I completely agree with him. This defense for USC just doesn't seemingly want to, tackle people and play cohesive defensive football. Is Sione Vaki capable of leading Utah to a victory single-handedly this week, seeming like he did against Cal last week?
I mean, they maybe can if Utah can get good pressure on Caleb and rattle him. And that's the other part of the softness, right?
Uh-huh.
Everybody instantly goes to USC's defense is soft. And yes, that is true. The sample size is pretty indicative that that is the case. But the other side of the softness is offensive line has been porous. We've seen several times now that Caleb Williams does not perform well when he's under duress and pressured. He's great when things are going swimmingly. He's not so great when things are hard and tough, and he really has to kind of tough it out and pull it through. Can Utah's defense create enough havoc to slow down USC's offense to where, Sione Vaki, JaQuindon Jackson can kind of ground and pound and get some points on the board while taking a lot of time off the clock that doesn't allow USC's offense to really operate and perform quickly. That to me is the formula. If Utah can muddy up the game and cause that havoc and really test and push the softness, as has been coined of this USC team, Utah might have a chance. They legitimately might. It's weird, but I wouldn't be shocked if that happens, just based off of what I've seen out of this USC team. But, it's also not something that I think I'm banking on. I don't know that I would put money on that per se, but if that ends up being the case, I wouldn't be the least bit shocked.
Now, how much does the first half suspension for Cole Bishop affect Utah in your mind in this game?
I think it's one of those things that obviously not ideal, but they do have Nate Ritchie, and he was really pretty good in that Cal game when he had to go in for Cole in the first place. Obviously, he was no slouch when he was here briefly in that brief 2020 season. He was probably one of the high points, highlights of that season, outside of the late Ty Jordan. So I think, there's a lot of hope that they'll be fine, but they're obviously going to want Cole back in that lineup in the second half to keep things fresh and keep things really aggressive.
The Utah defense held UCLA to 7 points, and obviously that was a different style quarterback, a younger quarterback, as I should say, in Dante Moore. This is the reigning Heisman Trophy winner in Caleb Williams. What, in your mind, is the realistic number of points you think Utah's defense can hold the Trojans to?
I think they can hold them between 20 and 30.
Okay.
If they're having a really good day, if they really get under their skin. If for whatever reason Utah's defense has a bad day, if Utah's offense is turning the ball over and putting the defense back out on the field consistently, this USC team is also very capable of racking up points on Utah. So it's really, to me, how disciplined is this Utah team going into the game? If they play a mistake-free, tough-it-out, ground-and-pound game, I actually like them in this one. If things get sloppy, if there's turnovers, if the offense stalls out in the run game and can't do enough in the pass game to kind of move the chains here and there and keep that USC defense honest, it's going to be a long day.
Okay, this is an interesting question from my perspective. I'm interested to get your take on this. Do you, if you were designing a game plan to go up against Utah right now, and I said this earlier on today's show, is that I would say I'm going to put eight men in the box, and I am going to put whoever's playing quarterback for Utah, Bryson Barnes, Nate Johnson, whoever it is, tell them you're beating me with your arm. Isn't that how you would go about defending Utah?
Oh, totally. Totally. I would absolutely try and stop and slow up their run game. And, I mean, the thing is, people were doing that earlier in the season. You know, Utah's run game was only really good last week. And partially because JaQuindon seems like he's back and a little bit healthier than he was when the season first started. And then, of course, finding that extra spark with someone like Sione Vaki. But the thing is, now there's tape on Sione Vaki. You know, Sione's not catching anyone by surprise. People are aware, you know, of what he can do. And it's going to be interesting, of course, to see, you know, whatever kind of wear and tear, you know, JaQuindon got 2 weeks off, 2 or 3 weeks off. You know, did that 1 week back undo some of that? So, you know, those are things to watch. So those are things that could really affect, you know, how effective this USC team potentially could be in stopping the run. But the other crazy thing is, you know, they kind of shown that they can load the box. And as you said earlier, they're not great at tackling. They're not great at getting stops. And so, you know, if it doesn't matter if you load eight in the box, if you can't, you know, do the fundamental things right in order to get the stop in the first place. If guys are pinballing off of you, it makes no difference. So that's kind of, I think that's the game plan for USC, but they have to execute it.
The Coliseum is a place that when it is actually got fans in, it can be a fairly intimidating environment. You can go back and look at some of the history, but now also this is Los Angeles. This is the entertainment capital of the world, and there's a lot of other things a lot of people like to do. They're not to mention the beaches and all that type of stuff that you can do. Are you expecting a pretty decent-sized crowd here today, Michelle? Have you heard anything on that front?
I think it'll probably be a good crowd. It's really interesting. I was with a friend yesterday, and she was looking at the ticket prices, and they are considerably less than the last time Utah and USC played. It seems like there's a little discontent in the USC fan base with this team, and I kind of get it in a way. They just haven't really, I don't know, looked the way that I think everyone was expecting them to. Like, they've still been good. Obviously, you have to be pretty good in order to get six. And it's really interesting, actually, because I feel like USC fans and Utah fans are kind of talking about their teams in a similar way.
Yeah.
The only difference is there's, like, a tangible reason why Utah looks the way that they do. It's a bit of a mystery as to why USC has looked the way that they have. But they both managed to get, you know, 5 wins for Utah, 6 wins for USC, and then, of course, the one loss that both of them have as well. So, but I think the fan base is maybe cool a little bit on this team, but I think, you know, an explosive win over Utah, who's been a thorn in their side the last three matchups, could do a lot to maybe reel them back in and get them re-engaged.
What are you going to miss most about this series, Michelle? Like, between USC and Utah, because they've had some absolutely classic games. You know, they're getting further than last season. Those two games, obviously the regular season matchup up here in Salt Lake City, and then the Pac-12 title game in Las Vegas. Two absolute classic matchups. What are you going to miss most about this series between USC and Utah as it ends, at least for the foreseeable future after this year?
You know, I think I'm going to miss the attention that it's put on Utah's program, to be honest. It's just all the way around a very interesting matchup. I did an article about this earlier in the week. You know, these teams have matched up really well from the jump, which is crazy, crazy, crazy to think about when you look at the history that USC has had, how storied they are, you know, the type of talent that they can bring in and week out. And then, you know, Utah is this plucky little up-and-comer that's had to kind of gradually build and be strategic and disciplined. And it's very fascinating. You break down these games. 5 of the 13 games that have been played have been decided by one score. Two games have been decided by 1 point in this series. You know, there just are not blowouts, so to speak, in this game. And Utah does actually hold the largest margin of victory, and that was, of course, the Pac-12 championship game in December has been the biggest, widest margin of victory in this series. And then the other thing is, usually the winner of the game is the home team. Wins on the road for these two, very hard to come by. They both have one. USC technically has two. They got the win in 2020. You know, it's a tough, entertaining matchup. If you can take yourself out of, you know, who you want to win and just look at it as a college football game, you're always in for a treat with this one. And I think, you know, that's just kind of what I'm going to miss. It's always guaranteed to be a good game.
Now, L.A., in terms of the overall fervor, we just talked about the fact that the fans may be a little bit out on them. But do you feel like for both of these teams in a way that this is the type of game that could springboard them into the back half of the season on a positive note? Or do you feel like it's just kind of a one-off in a way?
You know, I think it definitely could springboard Utah because I think everybody's just very nervous about, you know, again, some of the people that are not back yet, not having Cam, not having Brant, some of the guys that keep going in and out with injuries, some of the season-ending injuries that this team has had. And so I think to get a big win on the road in Los Angeles absolutely springboards this team. I think it continues to build their confidence. I think last week was a big confidence builder for them, especially on offense. And if they can do that again here in a place that's been historically hard to get a win, I think, you know, that does a lot for this team. USC, I don't know that it necessarily does as much for them, but I am sure they would be absolutely thrilled, like I said, to get rid of Utah for the foreseeable future. Yeah. And leave them with an L when Utah's left them with an L the last three.
Well, I agree with you on that. They probably are like, no, thank goodness we don't have to see Utah anymore. Now, but they also have to add like significant amounts of travel to their docket. Now, I'm saying that Utah is not going to have quite a bit of travel in their own right jumping into the Big 12, but it should be interesting. But, Michelle, is there anything else in terms of you feel like Utah fan or what you think Utah fans need to know ahead of the matchup later on this evening?
Well, I was going to add into that last point. The ironic thing is they get rid of Utah, but they add a whole bunch of Utah.
Well,
to
sure.
Their
good point. Yeah. The Big Ten. Yeah. Yeah. Good point.
Yeah,
that's a very good point.
You know, I don't know how well USC is going to handle that, to be honest, but it will be something to watch for sure. You know, I think just, you know, enjoy this team, enjoy this game. I think it's going to be a good one. I anticipate it to be a good one. I don't think Utah's going to roll over and let, you know, USC run all over them. But I also don't think USC is going to let Utah, you know, have their way the entire game. Like, I really do think this is going to be a good game. And I think, you know, just watch for who wants it more. I think that's going to be the big thing. You know, does USC's talent come through or does Utah's toughness come through? I think that's kind of the big difference maker in this game. Who wins it is going to come down to, does USC's talent show up or does Utah's toughness come through?
Toughness versus talent. I like that. Use that, Michelle. You can get some mileage out of that one, I think.
We love a good alliteration.
Yeah, we do. Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Look forward to your coverage, obviously, down there in Los Angeles. And obviously, we'll be tracking it all at KSLSports.com and also on social media. And, of course, we'll see you back here when you get back into town.
Sure will. Thanks for having me, Jake.
Absolutely. There you go. That's Michelle Bodkin, typically my co-host sitting right across from me here at the KSL Sports Zone. But she is in Los Angeles getting ready for USC and Utah tonight. Just a heads up for you guys. 5 o'clock right here on 97.5 FM. You will have the Ute pregame show. The Cougar pregame show will be at 4 o'clock leading up to BYU and Texas Tech. I also have Utah State tonight. Christian's pulling double duty like I am today. You got Utah State tonight, correct?
Oh, yeah. Should be a fun one.
San Jose Jose State, and the Aggies have won 10 straight over the Spartans, looking to make it 11 in a row.
The Aggies are a very interesting team this year. But, I mean, last week they lost to Fresno State. Fresno State was ranked a couple weeks ago. Yeah. Of course, what is that worth early on in the season? But nonetheless, I mean, the Aggies easily could have won that game.
Yeah.
And against a team that was ranked. I mean,
things bounce different.
I can't wait to see what the Aggies do down the stretch this season.
You never quite know. I'm with you on that. It's kind of a wild, wild ride when you watch Utah State play. All right, coming up here in just a minute, we will talk a little bit more about what's going on in the college football universe. We'll also take a look at the NFL. And it is MLS Decision Day for Real Salt Lake, as well as the rest of Major League Soccer. All that and more still ahead right here on the Saturday Show. Welcome back to the Saturday Show, and always good when the gorillas are on. Hey, keep that rolling for a minute here, Christian. Come on.
It was a shortcut. I didn't even realize it until the last second.
That's
only 11 seconds.
That's okay. The gorillas are always a good choice, and welcome here on the Saturday Show. Welcome back, Jay Catch, Christian Esparza with you guys. Hope you all are doing well. Let's break into some 5 minutes of, and what we typically do in this segment is talk about some of the other topics we have not had a chance to dive into quite yet on today's show. I want to start off in the NFL world, and we discussed a little bit earlier with regards to the Broncos and whatnot, but the Jaguars are now 5-2. They got a 31-24 victory over the New Orleans Saints on Thursday Night Football. It's kind of funny to think that the Jaguars are decent, good. I don't know what to make of Jacksonville right now. We'll see.
Yeah, I really like Trevor Lawrence, and I like Doug Peterson, obviously, last year.
Yeah.
It was clear Coach Peterson did some great things for Trevor Lawrence. They got to the playoffs. They won a game. So you always want to build upon that when you can win a playoff game, and it looks like they're off to a good start this year. Calvin Ridley, they traded for him. He was still under suspension, and he's with the Jaguars now. He isn't really making as big of an impact as some people were hoping.
There are people thinking that he was going to be like this fantasy breakout star.
Fantasy football managers. But nonetheless, I mean, they're fun to watch. They have a really fun offense. They have a lot of weapons. They can hurt you many different ways. They're fun. I like the Jags.
Now, you want a really kind of just funny story about the whole Calvin Ridley situation? So my younger brother served in a mission for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in Atlanta, Georgia.
Recently?
Recently, yes.
Okay.
I got home last Thanksgiving, essentially. Well, Calvin Ridley was suspended all of last year because of the situation he found himself in with the NFL. Well, my brother would send emails each week. They have what they call a preparation day. They send emails, communicate with the family, whatever. Well, I get an email from him. This probably was, I want to say in the May-June period of 2022. So this goes back over a year ago. And he says, "Hey, do you know who Calvin Ridley is?" I'm like, "Yes, I know who Calvin Ridley is. I work in sports media, dude. I know he's a good football player. Why? Why are you asking me this?" "Well, he just moved into my apartment complex."
No way.
Yeah.
Wow. Did he ever meet him?
I think that he may have "Hey, how's it going?" Like, in passing, I think is the most. Like, I was like, "You know, knock on his door?" Like,
yeah, right.
I'm like, but I don't remember where I'll text my brother and ask him where exactly this was. It was in Georgia. He served in the Atlanta, Georgia North. So essentially anything north of Atlanta, Georgia. Athens, where the University of Georgia is located, was in his mission boundaries and whatnot. But that was the most random thing. Calvin Ridley moved into my apartment complex. I'm like,
that
what?
Is so cool.
So
Calvin Ridley was traded to the Jaguars last year at the trade deadline.
Correct, yes.
Which is coming up soon. I believe the day is Halloween.
Yeah, it's coming up. Yeah, we're under 2 weeks, yeah.
Are there any players that you are kind of thinking or excited to see if they get moved this year?
Now, there was a whole talk about the Minnesota Vikings and the whole Kirk Cousins situation, and they said that he's not willing to waive his no trade clause, and I get why he doesn't. Like, you wield the power, so control that. But if I'm the Minnesota Vikings, I'm like, please let us trade you. Please let us trade you. Please let us move on. I watched the quarterback series, the QB series on Netflix,
yes.
And I came away a huge fan. How he operates. But he's not ever going to get you to the promised land. He has that trophy case. He's like, this is where the Lombardi trophy is going to go. And I'm like, well, that's going to be empty for a really long time unless you win one as a coach or something. Because he's not going to lead a team to the promised land. I'm sorry. He's just not.
Yeah. Of course, there's all the rumors and speculation to the Jets.
Yes, sure.
Zach Wilson has been playing better than he has earlier
Correct.
In his career. Credit
yeah.
to him. But if you can get a bit of an upgrade, which I do think Kirk Cousins would be an upgrade over Zach Wilson.
I would agree with you
on
that.
In New York, maybe there's the potential. But again, the AFC is just so, so deep, so questionable. You still don't know.
And Aaron Rodgers is like bionic and recovering from Achilles surgery.
Yeah, exactly.
Record time. I still think I don't think he plays the rest of the season. I just don't see doctors clearing him. But it's incredible to see him walking without a boot and crutches right now. That's pretty incredible. So we'll see. Other trade stuff. Here's the thing. The NBA trade deadline, always going to watch.
Yes.
Because crazy things happen. MLB trade deadline, similar circumstance. The NFL trade deadline, it's just kind of like.
Yeah, sometimes there's some big moves. Like a couple years ago, the Broncos traded Von Miller
sure,
to the Rams.
Yeah.
He helped them win the Super Bowl.
But those are the exception. They're not the rule.
Yeah, most of the time it's like a guy who hasn't really done much,
yeah.
won't really do much.
Yeah, it's just it doesn't seem to have the same juice that other trade deadlines in other sports have. By the way, huge game Sunday night. Huge game.
Oh,
Dolphins,
yeah.
Eagles. This is, and by the way, if Miami truly wants to assert themselves as, because people out there are like, okay, how good really is Miami? They've got this elite offense. Tyreek Hill is an absolute freak. Tua Tagovailoa is looking very much the part. If you can go and beat Philadelphia in Philadelphia, yeah, you can start talking about the Dolphins being among the AFC's elite.
And I think they started to lay those seeds last year.
Correct.
Of course, Tua dealt with some concussions, dealt with some injuries. So they kind of fell off around midseason. But early on last year, they kind of same thing. They were like, oh, my gosh,
Correct.
Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, they're so unguardable. And then now the big difference with this year, all of their running backs are healthy. Raheem Mostert has done so
Jeff
good this
Wilson
year.
Jr. is coming back.
Jeff Wilson is coming back this week. Devon Achan had a few big games. He's
now, the crappy
injured,
thing
but...
is his former BYU running back Chris Brooks was just put on IR. That's the only bummer part.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but Achan's supposed to be back, and he was averaging 12.1 yards per carry, folks, when he got injured.
Per
carry.
Per carry.
Not game. Like, 12 point. Every time he touched the ball, it was a first down. So, crazy
and more.
Stuff. Yeah, so.
So, the Dolphins, I think, are for real, and you can't guard them. And that's with Jalen Waddle kind of having a down year
Correct.
So far.
Yes. So I just feel like if they can assert themselves as truly a contender, in my mind, if they win tomorrow night against the Eagles, we'll see what happens. The undercard, by the way, I think the second biggest game of the day, in my mind, Lions at Ravens. The Lions are similar to the Miami Dolphins. Off to a hot start. The offense looks very, very good. But you got to like kind of prove yourself. And going to Baltimore, I know that Baltimore has not been elite. But going to Baltimore and winning a game of this caliber, I think would launch the Lions into that conversation and being, okay, can they run out of the NFC now?
100%. And it's fun having these are two separate conferences,
yes.
right? AFC, NFC. Yeah. It's fun getting a big game of this caliber.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the Eagles game is that way too, Eagles-Dolphins. But
yeah.
the Ravens, kind of with Lamar Jackson, everybody knows they should be a perennial one or two playoff win team.
Should.
But then, they have the injuries and stuff, whatever.
Yeah.
But they've looked good this year. They've had a couple down games, like their game against the Steelers. They dealt with a ton of drops. But if Lamar Jackson can figure out this new offense, then that's going to be a really, really fun team to watch. But again, I love what the Lions have done. The Lions have been really great to watch this year. Jared Goff, all of a sudden looking like a franchise quarterback, is kind of a throwaway in a trade with Matthew Stafford.
Yep.
That's kind of like this is cool that it's working out. So, the Lions are fun.
The lovable loser Lions are actually like everybody's darling. That's fun to have. You're no doubt about that. All right, let's flip over real quick and talk about what's going on in Major League Soccer. It is MLS Decision Day, and what that means is all the clubs across Major League Soccer are in action today. It's the final day of the regular season for Major League Soccer, and that includes Real Salt Lake. They are taking on the Colorado Rapids. You'll be able to hear all the action of RSL later on this evening. A 6 o'clock pre-match show, getting you ready. Spencer Warren and Lauren Beck will be getting ready for that. And then obviously you'll have the call of the game. It is going to be an interesting one tonight because Colorado is near the bottom of the table And RSL, and it's kind of funny about this, and Christian, I know you've done a lot of RSL games this year. Real Salt Lake, if they win, they're guaranteed fifth place. If they lose...
At least fifth place.
At least fifth place. If they lose, they're guaranteed sixth place. So you're not moving down much, but if you win, you can go as high as third.
With help from other teams.
Correct.
And that's so wild that, I mean, today is the last day of regular season play, and there's still so much unknown in that West, in the MLS. There could be so much more movement. So, yeah, today is a huge day for Real Salt Lake.
And the other thing about this is kind of how Major League Soccer wants it. Now, if they had it in their, like, their heart of hearts, Lionel Messi and Inter Miami would have made a run and would have been going into the playoffs as, like, a wild card team in the East and looking like every bit the danger that they were when he first arrived. Great. That's probably the one storyline they're not going to have. But to your point, there's a lot of just back and forth with regards to how the playoff standings are going to shake out. And they've changed the playoff format again this year. We will have all that coverage for you guys here on DKSL Sports Zone. It's a best of three in the first round. So there's going to be two wild card. There's a pair of wild card teams that will play a midweek match leading up to a week from now when it'll be a best of three match series over a week-long period, a little bit longer than a week-long period, where you got to win 2 of 3. It's kind of like a baseball series in a way.
Yeah, and so we don't know when RSL is going to play. It's either the 28th or 29th.
I was told to expect the 28th from a certain person around the franchise. But we'll see.
There you go.
We'll see.
We'll see. But, yeah, so I guess the question with this is, like, which version of Real Salt Lake are we going to get? Are we going to get the team that started off really bad, ended the season kind of mediocre, or are we going to get the team that got really, really hot kind of over the summer there?
Yeah, that's the big question. And you want to carry some momentum into this, obviously, and an opportunity to beat up on the Colorado Rapids and just your rival, the whole Rocky Mountain Cup thing. It should be interesting, but the hope is that RSL can pick up some momentum here and carry it over into the playoffs. The nice part is there will be home playoff action for RSL no matter where they land, whether they host two of the three or one of the three. There will be at least one home playoff match for RSL this season, and that's going to be fun because the riot, as we've called it for years, America First Field, it'll be rocking. It's been actually very well attended this year, like in terms of the home crowds. Looking forward to carrying that over into the postseason. We'll see what happens. There's a big opportunity here. Now, the whole Chicho Arango thing, you hope that hamstring does not essentially cost them the rest of the year. We'll see.
Yeah, if they want to make any noise in the playoffs, they definitely need Chicho.
You need Chicho.
And they don't just need him out there. They need him out there playing at the highest level that he can play at.
Which is pretty darn high because he is a phenomenal, phenomenal football player. Okay, by the way, we have had just an absolutely crazy end to the first half in Oklahoma. About 2 minutes to go, Oklahoma scored a touchdown. So UCF gotten a field goal to go up 10-7, excuse me. And then they traded scores back and forth in the final 2 minutes here. It's 17-17 at halftime in Norman. So UCF flexing some muscle on the road in the Big 12 here. We'll see what happens. It's just kind of crazy. I literally looked up and saw the score. I'm like, whoa, and I just saw somebody say that it's going back and forth. So interesting that we're going back and forth. And then Matt Brown, by the way, he's a regular on our show. He does a lot of stuff with Extra Points Newsletter. He just tweeted this, Christian. I think you'll get a chuckle out of this. I yelled "Holy bleep!" after that play. He's watching Ohio State. And he's an ardent Ohio State fan, and now I am currently being lectured by both of my daughters about why adults shouldn't say bad words.
It's what football does. That's what it does.
As a guy who's got three kids now, I have been there and I will continue to be there for years. So.
That's why you need a man cave. Kind of shut the door. Don't bug me. Let me watch my football in peace.
That's the dream. One day, right? When I make all my fortunes in sports radio and such.
Yes.
Come on now.
Yes.
No, but that one made me chuckle. All right. We will wrap things up coming up next. Catch up on some of the other topics. Just kind of rehash a little bit what we talked about earlier on today's program. That's all coming up next right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Welcome back to the Saturday Show here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. Hope you all are doing great on this Saturday morning. College football well underway. Number 7, Penn State, facing off against number 3, Ohio State. And Christian, I don't have that score up in front of me. Where are we looking at right now on that?
6-10 for Ohio State.
Okay.
50 seconds left in the second quarter.
Well, here's the thing. Like, this is Big Ten football. Like, come on now. And the other thing about this is the other issue at hand with regards to this is elite quarterback play has been lacking in the Big Ten this year. It's been a big bugaboo for the Big Ten conference, whereas the Pac-12's had elite quarterback play most of this year. And trust me, it's been a lot more fun to watch when you have high-level quarterback play taking place. So it'll be interesting to see how things shake out on that front. In the studio here, I've got Arkansas and Mississippi State doing battle 7-3. I've also got Oklahoma and I had Oklahoma and UCF. They're tied at 17 at halftime. Here's the thing. Arkansas, BYU sent them into a spiral, apparently. They are 2-5 on the season. They won their first two games of the year. BYU goes down there and comes back to win, and they have not won since. And they are currently losing to Mississippi State 7-3 with 10 minutes to go in the third.
And that's interesting because that's kind of what we were talking about with BYU today, mm-hmm. taking a loss like they did last week against TCU. Just weird how that can happen. You know, you take a bad loss, and it can just derail your entire season.
It can send you in a spiral. There's no doubt about that. And that's going to be the interesting part, is to see how the Cougars kind of navigate that and how they're able to bounce back. By the way, other games of note underway. Number 22, Air Force. By the way, Air Force Academy, awesome so far this year. You know how they scored their lone touchdown in this game, don't you?
Let me guess. Was it a fullback dive?
It was not. A 94-yard touchdown pass.
What?
Yeah.
It had to have been like a slant or something.
It was just a big play. Let's see. Dane Kinnaman caught a 94-yard touchdown. It's his only reception of the game so far. One catch, 94 yards, one touchdown. Talk about some efficiency. And by the way, is it Zach Larrier, their quarterback? He was rumored to be out for a while, quote-unquote, according to their head coach. Well, here's the thing. He's playing today.
Big game.
I know. It is, because the Commander-in-Chief trophy, in many respects, is actually bigger for the service academies than even like a Mountain West championship would be for the Falcons. They are out at Navy, and it's a 7-0 ball game there. And kind of crazy, but yeah. Air Force scoring bombs, touchdowns, 94 yards and such.
6-0 so far this year. Uh-huh. Air Force has been really, really good, obviously producing all the Utah State games. Mm-hmm. I helped out with that game against Air Force, and it was kind of death by a thousand paper cuts.
Yeah, you want to talk about a wild game.
Like, yeah.
Utah State fell behind huge. Was it 24-0, 23-0, something like
probably
that?
Probably.
And they came rumbling back to make it a game out there in Colorado Springs. Crazy stuff. By the way, on the Utah State front, we've had to talk about this a little bit. Here's a big opportunity for Utah State against San Jose. San Jose was expected to be a team that was much better than the record has indicated, and they have played better football, it feels like, than they're 2-5 on the year. But this is a big opportunity for Utah State to go out there and get a win on the road.
And they need to start stacking up these wins, because we mentioned they were close against Air Force. Air Force is ranked right now. They're number 22. Mm-hmm. They were close with them. They were close with Fresno State, who at one point was also ranked. But they need to start bringing in these wins. It doesn't – who cares if you're in a close game, right?
Sure.
With a ranked opponent. So against San Jose State, I think the Aggies have a chance today to get a much-needed win. Where it's yet to be known if it's going to be McKay Hillstead or Cooper Laga. I really like what I've seen from McKay Hillstead so far. Cooper Laga as well has made some big plays. Jalen Royals, the wide receiver, has had a monster last few games. So we're looking for him to make big plays today. But I think the Aggies really, really need a win today.
They do need a win and get them back to 500. Now, the rest of the way for Utah State, they go to San Diego State after a bye week. So they're going to have a bye week next week. So they have a little bit later bye week this season. But then they go to San Diego State, home to Nevada, home to Boise State for their home finale, and then at New Mexico on Thanksgiving weekend. So getting to 6 wins on paper doesn't seem to be that daunting for Utah State. But you don't want to continue to let games slip, as you mentioned, Christian. You got to win these football games. And I know I've talked with Scotty G, and we've talked about just the kind of the Jekyll and Hyde nature of how Utah State has operated this year. First quarters have been just brutal outside of last week, because against Fresno last week, the first quarter they were off to a hot, but most of the season they've got off to very, very slow starts.
Yeah, so we're looking for them to kind of get going out of the gates,
uh-huh.
and hopefully they can get that W today.
It will be interesting. I am curious to see how they respond, obviously. And the other thing about this is it feels like in some ways you're setting up for the future, because McKay Hillstead is the future of the quarterback position. Now, He has that concussion. You're not going to rush him back, nor should you. Let me be very clear about that. You do not rush people back from head injuries. They're not good. But I'll give Cooper Lagat credit. He has held it down in relief. And he very easily, by the way, when you get replaced as a guy like Cooper Lagat as a senior,
it's easy to give up.
Check out. Thanks, but yeah, do your thing. And Levi Williams is there as well. I get that. But I got to give a big tip of the cap to Cooper Lagat for staying engaged with this team, because it had been so easy for him once he got replaced to say that, well, thanks, but I'm off and doing my own thing now.
Exactly. It's good to be a team player like that, show some leadership as a quarterback.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for this edition of the Saturday Show. Thank you to all of you who have tuned in. Obviously, we are here every Saturday morning. We got plenty of coverage coming up later today. 4 o'clock, Cougar pregame show. 5 o'clock, Ute pregame show. 5 o'clock on 1280, the Aggie pregame show. Full play-by-play coverage of the Aggies against San Jose State on 1280 AM. 6 o'clock on 97.5 FM. You'll have the RSL pre-match show with full coverage of RSL versus Colorado. It is going to be a very, very full evening of sports here on the KSL Sports Zone, so keep it locked right here on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone. And until next week, my friends, have a great day. This has been the Saturday Show on 97.5 FM, the KSL Sports Zone.